Hi guys, and welcome back to Topic Tuesday, episode 20. I know I disappeared for a while, but we're back and I'm really excited. It feels really lovely and I'm super honored to be sharing this episode and episode 20 with my beautiful friend Liv, who is here to talk about something that happened to her recently, hopefully raise awareness and help women all around the world. So thank you for coming back if you're coming to watch this. I won't be disappearing again. But most importantly, welcome, Liv. Hello. Thank you so much for coming. I understand today's episode is going to be quite challenging and it's going to be very deep and raw. We spoke about this when I saw you, just me and you. Me and Liv caught up last week at Liv's home, but we don't like to call it a trigger warning because we don't want to put a trigger warning around Soli's life, but non-trigger warning. And we are going to be talking about, what can I say?
Baby loss.
Bereavement, death of a child. So please, if that's something super sensitive or something that you can't hear, just know that this is what this is going to be about. So first of all, welcome. I always ask my guests to introduce themselves and just talk a little bit about themselves, who they are. So please, Liv, over to you.
Yeah, so hi, I'm Liv. I am 29 and I am married, have a little girl called Nova. I have been doing social media for like the last couple of years, really. Mm-hmm. I met you, didn't I?
Yeah. Over...
I actually remember we were at the Elms in Worcester. Yeah. You were on like a PR stay or something.
I was, yeah.
And I remember that... I just started like putting my toe in and we were sharing our wedding and we were getting married.
Yeah.
And we did like a whole DIY wedding and that's sort of how I started like my social media journey. And yeah, so I've been loving it ever since. But yeah, here today just to share, we had a little girl on the 12th of August this year and she sadly passed away on the 14th. At 2 days old. So yeah, it's been a really difficult time, but something that I'm just so keen to share awareness about and tell our story in the hopes that it can help other women.
And I think there is, I've got goosies every time. The power that you've now found in your pain is so admirable. I just want to know like how strong you really are to be able to sit here and talk to us about something. And I know when you look back at this, you'll be so proud of yourself because you really will be helping so many people around the world. Yeah. And Soli, as we said when we spoke to each other last week, like Soli, people deserve to know about Soli.
And I think like, so the funeral was really personal and it was like only our close family and some really close friends. But my dad did like a really nice perspective of it. And like, he got up and he spoke and he said, you know, and this is what I really want. I want her to have a purpose of her life. You know, it was only 2 days, but it's like 2 days that could change the world. And like, I really feel that.
Mm.
So
I think you're incredible. And thank you. I feel honestly so honoured that you feel comfortable to come and talk to me and talk on this podcast. So yeah, thank you so much. And it really, it just feels, me and Liv did meet in a spa, in a hot tub with our partners and it was gorgeous and we've been in touch ever since. So if it's okay with you, we'll jump straight into it. I think Liv will talk to us about her story, share what happened. And then I'll be asking Liv questions along the way where it feels right. A lot of you wrote in, first of all, sharing so many like wonderful messages and love and hugs, internet hugs.
I mean, Liv, the support has been like unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I think that's another thing is that you don't realise how common this is.
Right.
I
think that is the scary thing about it. I think there's lots of aspects when it comes to women, whether it be with women's health, whatever it is, and we shy away from it and it's kind of like taboo and we don't talk about things, but these are the things we should be shouting about and helping women. And you said before we press the recall button, like you want to empower women to have a voice and challenge where they feel like they need to. And on that note, I'll hand it over to you if you want to talk about your story and where this kind of all came from.
So starting right back at my 12-week scan, I got told that I had low Pape. And from what I know, that is, it's the hormone that is produced from the placenta. So mine was lower than it should have been, which in turn, they tell you to look out like later on in pregnancy for signs of preeclampsia, like signs of preeclampsia are high blood pressure, swollen hands and feet, and flashing lights, pain underneath your ribs.
Yeah.
So yeah, I at that point was so chilled, second baby, didn't really think anything much of it. No one raised alarm bells to me, said this is anything to worry about. So yeah, I carried on with my pregnancy. I think at 20 weeks I had to have a further test done. It's called the uterine artery Doppler, and that is and that came back abnormal.
Okay.
But again, I just got put on aspirin, and that's like the standard procedure. I again didn't think, you know, anything, because they never raised those alarm bells to me. I still thought, you know, I was still normal pregnancy. I didn't feel any different. So yeah. And our story really starts 10 days prior to giving birth, because that's, so I would say height of summer, but obviously UK weather is just
so hit or miss.
We did have some nice warm weather, and my hands and feet were really swollen. So I'd had to take my wedding rings off probably like 4 weeks before this. So I'm now around 36 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But like 32, I'd had to take them off because pregnancy swelling and all that. But it got to this one day, and so I was told to look out for the signs of swollen hands and feet, high blood pressure, flashing lights, these things. My hands and feet were mega swollen. Well, no, my feet were. But it was really hot. So I was just thinking, is this just like pregnancy-induced swelling? Is it the heat? Or is this something to be worried about? I remember I was sat in the garden, I did my blood pressure at home, and it was like on the high side. And I think what they say that it's for pregnant women, they say that you should look out for like anything 140 over 90. And mine was like, it wasn't mega, but it was just above that. And obviously because I was 36 weeks, I was like looking out for these signs anyway. And I had the swollen hands and feet. I rang Warwick and they were like, come over. So that night I went over, this was a Thursday evening, and yeah, that just set up like a whole series of events leading up to the birth. So it, my blood pressure was high and they put me on some medication, labetalol, and I got sent home that evening, but I had to go back over to Warwick the next morning. Bearing in mind, the hospital is a 40-minute drive from my house. I had to go back over to the hospital the next morning to pick up meds. But then on the evening, I did my blood pressure again. It was high still on these meds. And so I went back over. So I ended up going over the Thursday, the Friday, the Sunday morning. They put me on, each time I was going over, they were higher in my dose. I went back over the Sunday evening and got admitted until the Tuesday. Obviously, every time I'm going over, I'm like stressed because I am leaving my little girl. I've got a little girl at home. She's only 14 months old. And, you know, it was just, I just felt very vulnerable. And I was always on my own because I didn't have Storm with me because he was always looking after Nova. There's so many factors to it. Even like Storm having to look after Nova, he's self-employed, he can't work, you know. It's just, yeah, there was so many triggering stress factors. But whenever I was over there, I would say, like, you know, if you need me to stay, like, I want to do whatever is best. I didn't feel unwell, so it was always conflicting anyway. Stayed until the Tuesday, had a consultant appointment on the Wednesday anyway, so I was back over there. I then went in on the Friday and got admitted again. So I ended up going over, I think, seven times or six times. And then on the Saturday, when they let me go home, that I went home. By this point, I was on labetalol four times a day and nifedipine twice,
Which are all to bring blood pressure down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Through all of this, my blood pressure wasn't really being controlled by the medication that I was on. Obviously, they were adding it in, but the truth is, it wasn't.
Nothing was happening.
Yeah. They sent me home on the pretenses that I had a community midwife appointment on the Tuesday. Now, on the Monday, I rang up my community midwives and I said, this is my blood pressure this morning, this is the medication that I'm on, can I get an appointment for someone to come tomorrow? And they said, with the amount of medication that you're on and your blood pressure reading, it was still on the borderline of that over 140, over 90. Bearing in mind, previously when I was going over, my blood pressure had been as high as like 170 over 100 and something, so that's quite high, you know. The midwife, thank God, said to me, I'm not happy with your blood pressure as it is on the medication that you're on, so I'm going to come out to you today instead of tomorrow. They wanted me, the consultant, so I will never ever forget this conversation. On the Friday when I went in, I was 37 weeks, and they said to me, well, the consultant came in and said, how far along are you? And I was like 37 weeks. And he was like, so this is a full-term baby, we could deliver. And I remember, and I, if people follow me, they will have seen my TikToks about it. And I say like, oh, they've talked about induction, but they haven't offered it to me. And I just, yeah, that's, maybe I'll touch that later, but I just, and think back to that conversation now, and I just think if you would have offered me induction at that point, things would have been so, so different. And mm-hmm. it's so, so hard to, like, yeah. feel that. The midwife arrived at around...
Quick question. Yeah. So community midwives, I never knew they'd come to your house. Like, I never had a community midwife come to your house. Did they come to your house because they were worried, or was that just a thing?
No, I was... it's a bit different in different areas, I think.
That's fine then.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just didn't actually
It's fine.
How it works.
Some of my appointments were at the hospital, but my community was Worcester and my booked where I was having solely was Warwick.
Yes.
Okay. So because I was booked at Warwick, they couldn't see me in the hospital. They had to come to me. Okay. I don't know why that works, but that's how it was. So the midwife arrived at around 4:30 between that. And when she came in, she said, I need to do your blood pressure. And it was high. It was 100 and... I was already knew that I was going to go back over to Warwick on that day. Like, I just felt it in me, but not for the reason that I did. But that day, I had been getting tightenings in my bump. Mm-hmm. And she was a really shifty baby. She didn't kick because her bum was like here. Mm-hmm. So when she moved, she sort of, I never really felt kicks because okay. I feel like her legs were at the back.
Yep.
And I said, I've been getting tightenings and I don't know if the movements have been like reduced or if it's her, the tightenings that I'm feeling. So she said to me that my blood pressure was high. And at that point, I got upset anyway, because I was just like, I've got to leave my baby again. And,
of course.
You know.
All these factors are just on their own.
Yeah.
So overwhelming. And put together, it's just like,
yeah,
way too much for one person to go. A week of it as well, back and forth.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you're pregnant and you're hormonal and, you know, it's yeah. just stressful anyway.
Yeah.
Blood pressure was high. So I was already going over to Warwick at that point. Then they dipped my urine and that came back that there was +2 protein, which is another sign of preeclampsia. Mm. So when I'd been going back and forth to the hospital, I'd been getting traces of protein occasionally, but when they'd send it off, my bloods never came back that I had preeclampsia. So with hypertension, which is what I had, it can turn into preeclampsia at any point, but it can happen really quickly. And obviously preeclampsia is really dangerous for mom and baby. Now for me, as far as we're aware, it never actually turned into preeclampsia, but it was going that way. So that was their worry, like, the whole time, is that, like, high blood pressure can turn into preeclampsia, and also placenta abruption, which unfortunately was what happened to me in the end. Had high blood pressure, the plus two protein in my urine. And then I said to the midwife, I was like, because I'd felt the reduced movements, I said, have you got your Doppler with you? Could you listen in? And she said, well, because you're already going over to Warwick anyway, I feel like it's probably just best if you just go, like, now.
Did that ring alarm bells at the time?
No, because, like, I never had alarm bells until we walked into the hospital. And
at what point? With you and Storm?
When we were on our way over to Warwick, I thought I was in labour. I thought we were going to have our baby. Yeah. And like we were walking in there smiling, saying, I can't believe we're having our baby. Mm. And she's coming early. And like we were like so happy. And like the reality of what we were walking into was like horrific.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we knew we needed to go over to Warwick. But we needed to find someone to have Nova. So ringing around friends and family. And eventually my best friend's mum said, yeah, bring her around. And it's on the way to the hospital, which was great. So got in the car. At this point, my tightenings are turning into contractions. Like I remember walking into the house and I got upset and I was like, oh, I just feel awful leaving Nova all the time. Like, it's really stressing me out. And they're like, it's fine, just go. Like, she's safe here with us. Went, started going over to Warwick. And I was like, Storm, I'm getting contractions. Like, I'm fully, like, contracting off. Second baby, I know what they feel like.
I was going to say, of course, because you've had Nova, you know exactly what that feels like.
Yeah, absolutely. Then I felt my waters go. And again, that had happened to me with Nova. So I was like, okay, my waters have gone. We're on our way over. I rang the hospital. I was like, you're expecting me anyway, but I think I'm in labour. We were so, like, happy. I was like, can't believe it. But as we got closer and closer to the hospital, as I said, it's like a 40-minute drive, the contractions weren't easing. And it was literally like, the midwife that delivered Nova, I really wanted her to deliver solely as well. And I was messaging her and I'm like, she's like, please wait for me, I'm in tomorrow. And I'm like, this baby's not waiting. Mm-hmm. Like, this baby's coming fast.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, as we got closer to the hospital, I wasn't getting any breaks with contractions. And so we got to the hospital, parked up, started walking in. Like, there's a picture of us and we're in the lift and we took the same picture with Nova and like we're smiling. And it wasn't until I looked down and I realized that it was blood and not water that I was like, alarm bells. And yeah, at that point I was like, oh, fuck, like something's wrong. We walked in and I just went up to the lady on the desk. I was like, you're expecting me. I thought it was my waters that had gone, but it's actually blood. And she was like, okay, come into the toilet. And she was like, how long are you? Show me. I showed her and I was like 37 plus three. And she was like, okay. And then she pulled me out of the toilet. Not pulled me, but she took me out the toilet. Yeah. And she just grabbed another midwife. I went through and they took me into one of the rooms. And they were trying to find a heartbeat. And I knew because I'd been on the monitor every time I'd been in, like they always found a heartbeat quite easily. And at that point, that was the point, obviously when I saw the blood, but you still just think, oh, okay, this could be normal. But when they couldn't find the heartbeat, that's when I knew like something was wrong. And yeah, she was trying for a little while and then she was like, I'm going to go and get the sonographer and they're going to come in and do a scan.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'd been for a scan that week. Like I knew that when you see the heart's going fast. And when they found the heart, I could just see this like really shallow pulse. And yeah, before I knew it, like the next thing I know, they just pressed the call button. She was like, there's going to be a load of people come in the room now. And all these people just rushed in and they were just getting me undressed, and I remember looking at Storm, he was on my left, and I just remember looking at him and his face was just like dropped. And I was getting wheeled out into the theatre room, and there was a midwife that I'd met actually when I'd been going back and forth, and she came in and, mm-hmm. and later she said to me, I never usually go to the call bell buttons because I usually stay on the desk, and she was like, when I walked in and I saw it was you, I couldn't have been more shocked, but to see a familiar face in that moment, like, she'll never understand how much that meant. And yeah, the next thing I know, I was just getting put to sleep. And I think we walked in the hospital at 5:33 and she was born at 6:02.
So it's a really quick...
Yeah.
All happens so quick.
Yeah, yeah, and obviously I'd been taken in for an emergency C-section. And Storm was sat in the room next door, and he said all he could see really was like shadows. And he had two midwives, bless him, next to him, and they were just like wiping his tears and just like supporting him. But the doctor came out and said to Storm, like, she's come out, but she's come out floppy. She didn't have a heartbeat for the first 16 minutes of her life.
It's just hard, isn't
it? Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I said to myself, I'm really going to keep it together. But when you hear it, it's just just kills me.
Oh, no.
I'm just so sorry. Hold it together.
No, it's fine, and it's natural and normal, and it's heartbreaking, you know. No one should ever have to live this.
Yeah.
And that's what's really sad, is just like, this is our reality, and this is what we wake up to every day, and you feel like it's a nightmare, you know.
I mean, you said when I was speaking to you before, you were like, I just feel like I've been completely robbed.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's fine.
And I said to you before, when you were speaking to me about it and the consultant came out and said to Storm, like, oh, Soli's floppy. Like, to me, like, as a, maybe someone who's way more, like, uneducated, let's use that word. Like, if someone came out to me and said my baby's floppy, I'm like, what the fuck does floppy mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is flipping hard. And one of the questions that someone wrote into me as well, it was like, how do the dads get support through this? And like, how do they survive this as well? But... like, Storm's not here, so it's like I can't ask him, but like, floppy, like, what does floppy mean? Like,
yeah, well,
you did explain it to
I mean, as far as I know, she wasn't alive, you know, she had no life in her. And the next thing I remember is coming around and just like Storm says to me, like, the first thing that you said was like, where is she? How is she? Like, what's going on? And I remember vaguely at that point, obviously, I've been put under general anaesthetic, mm-hmm. like, everything, it's quite blurry, but I remember being them not really telling us a lot. She had come out and not breathing, and at 16 minutes, they got a heart beating, but she couldn't breathe on her own, and at that point I didn't know how long she'd been starved of oxygen for, which obviously then,
like, the 16 minutes that they were trying, plus they didn't know, like, what if
they don't know how long the placenta, she hadn't been getting oxygen inside of me.
Yeah.
I think that is like one of the hardest things for me, like,
it's okay,
like, you just feel like so responsible in a way, because you're their home, do you know what I mean? Like, you're meant to keep them safe, and I know and I understand that this is not a situation that I did everything I could, you know?
Yeah, of course.
But, like, you just, the guilt in all of this.
I get
it. No matter how much anyone tries to tell you, you shouldn't feel guilty.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah, of course.
And it's in every aspect of your life. You know, when you're smiling, you're like, why am I smiling? Yeah. Or, you know, you're going to book a holiday, or how can we book a holiday without her? Like, everything we envisioned for the last 9-10 months involved her, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah.
But so they took me back into the room that I'd first gone into, and Soli was on like their special care unit. And but we knew that like from the start that it wasn't good, basically. But we always had hope, like up until that very last second. Yeah. The whole thing now was like, we need to find her somewhere to be transferred because we don't have the facilities to look after her, and also to do the tests that we need to do.
Do the tests to see
how much brain activity yeah, there yeah. is. So we were waiting a while for the transfer team.
And at this point, you are not with Soli.
So at this point, I hadn't even met Soli. So she was born at 6:02, and I think I met her at around 11 p.m. So like our family and stuff had arrived over there.
And a like week in Warwick, yeah.
Yeah. And like all of my family, or like my mum and dad, Storm's mum and Storm, like they'd all met Soli. But they couldn't get, because obviously I wasn't like stable either, like
due to your surgery.
Yeah, they couldn't get my bed into the room that she was in. So yeah. But eventually they did get me in there. And at that point they were like, have you thought about a name? And we had like talked about names, but we hadn't really like, we hadn't decided. Mm-hmm. And we'd talked about Soli, but really close, because I actually really liked some other names, but nothing fitted, like yeah. nothing was right for her other than Soli. And I was like, she's Soli Dove, like she's yeah. gotta be, that's the only name. I mean, I did get a bit put off it a few times because everyone kept saying it wrong, and I was like, it's Soli.
Why were they saying?
Everyone kept saying like Suli or like Soli, and I was yeah. like, oh, you're pissing no. me off anyway. But yeah, so we named her, I met her, it was, I mean, beautiful to meet her, but like I'll never forget, like, I couldn't even see her, really, because my bed was lower than her, and, you know, just never the way you would ever want to touch, feel, embrace your baby for the first time, seeing them all tubed up and, you know, fighting for their life. But, yeah, so she got transferred to Leicester, and the team sort of came in and... Oh, we're going to take Soli, actually, before this. I don't know specifically times because it's all a bit blurry, but...
Of course.
I know that this must have been before. Where my section was, where they'd opened me up for the section, they'd put a dressing on, and the dressing was saturated with blood. So they took the dressing off in hopes that if they put a new one on, that it was just like, they basically wanted to monitor how much the blood I was losing, or if I was bleeding out. And that one saturated really quickly again. So the options were either go back into theatre or get restitched in the room on gas and air. But they also needed to make sure that I was stable so that I could go wherever Soli was going to be. Yeah. yeah. So they decided to restitch me in the room on gas and air, which again, just horrendous, you know. And it's almost like, you know, this is what I remember anyway. Like they were stitching me up like we're scared there's a hematoma there, but we just need to make you stable and we need to make sure you're not bleeding out at this point. So they did that. And then Soli got transferred to Leicester. I mean, the staff, like the nurses and everyone who looked after her and looked after us were amazing. Like they were. It's just horrendous and never something that you hear about it happening to other people and your heart breaks for them, but you never think it's going to happen to you. Like I remember having conversations with Storm like in the later part of my pregnancy and being like, can you imagine if that happened? Like how horrendous would that be? but actually living it is like just a whole nother level. Like,
of course.
Yeah. So she got transferred at about 1 a.m. and they took my number. And when she arrived, they called me. Obviously, I was not asleep. Storm, our family had gone home and Storm was asleep in the chair. And they called me and said, she's arrived safe. We're handing her over to the neonatal unit and they'll give you a call with an update if you want to call anytime you can. And I remember just thinking, I can't like wrap my head around this. Like, no. I can't comprehend what has happened. Like, how this morning was my baby okay, kicking in my belly, and now this is a reality. Like, I just remember being like, what? Like, I kept saying to the midwife, I don't understand understand what's happened. About an hour later from that first call, they called me and said, they just said, like, it's not good and there is no brain activity. We need to get you over here as soon as possible so you can spend some time with her before inevitably you're going to have to, you know, say goodbye. And I remember, like, before that call came in, I just remember, like, just wanting to wail. Like, I just needed to, like, and I couldn't even do that because I was in that much pain. Like, it was just horrendous, like, awful. So I then got blue lighted over to Leicester and Storm followed in the car, bless him. They took me down to see Soli and she was just on, like, on the ward in a little bed with all these wires. And, you know, the thing that is, like, the most horrific thing is they just kept saying she's really poorly. And I was like, she looks perfect. Like, yeah. She was literally perfection. She looked just like Nova. She was 6'8", like, ready for this life, you know? And that's what I feel like. You know, Ellie, you said you feel like you've been, I feel like we've been absolutely robbed of this perfect baby that deserved to be a sister, you know.
Had they at this point given a definitive, as in, like, Soli's not made it?
No, we haven't spoken to, like, the consultant or anything yet. So yeah. Our family started arriving, like, one by one. And although it was, like, the hardest day of our life, like, it was the most beautiful day of our life. Like, my mum and dad, Storm's mum, and our siblings were there. And, you know, we all really supported each other. And so I think later on that day, the consultant came round and they sort of, like, have their meeting and then they come round as a group and talk to every sort of baby and give an update. And they came over to us and I remember the lady said to us, right, so she's in the cooling jacket and she'll be in that for 72 hours and then we will start to warm her back up again. And
it's just mind-blowing.
Yeah, it really is. And so, yeah, they said they'll start to warm her back up again. Day 5 to 10, they'll have an MRI scan. And I remember this all word for word because I was like, oh, my God, she's going to be okay. Like, okay. She's going to make it. And, like, this is going to be okay.
Yeah.
And about half an hour later, the lead consultant came back with the lady and she started explaining what she'd said to us. And he was like, oh, I'm really sorry. Can I just take you away a minute? And she was like, oh, yeah. And I just saw him go, like, no, that's not the case, and da, 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 da. And then he came back by himself and he was like, I'm really sorry, that's not the case. She's got 24 hours from when she was born and there's no brain activity and we need to turn her life support off, basically. And, yeah.
So it was at that moment that you had the definitive as to say, like,
we knew
there's no life, like, there's no brain activity, like, you have 24 hours.
Yeah. But at this point, it was actually 12 p.m. and she'd been born at 6 p.m. the day before. So we had six hours. Yeah. So, and in our heads, like, that's all that had been said to us and that's what was stuck with us. Like, we knew we had until 6 p.m. But actually, because at this point I wasn't feeling well either, like, in the end, like, with everything, I lost, like, 2 litres of blood. So I was, like, really poorly. And I think my HP levels, the iron levels, had gone down. They were meant to be at, like, 120 and it had gone down to, like, 60.
You said you were feeling, like, mad faint, weren't you?
Yeah, I was, like, I remember they took me up and, like, they were like, do you want to have a shower? And I was like, yeah, because at this point I was still in, like, the gown that, yeah, like, they'd operated in me in and stuff.
Yeah, take a sip.
And so, yeah, and then they, so these two gorgeous midwives, they, like, were like, do you want to stand up and try and have a shower? And I was like, yeah, but at this point, like, I'd had no tests and I didn't know, like, how poorly I actually was. And I literally tried to, like, stand up. And I remember I was like, whoa, that's not going to happen. Okay. I was like, no, I'm can't stand up. So they gave me, like, a bed wash, bless them. And I got dressed. I got put some pyjamas on, some fresh pyjamas. And we went down and we had some more time with her. And I think for me at this point, like, I still had so much hope. Like, I just thought, she's going to be okay. Like, oh, you would tickle her foot and she'd go like this. And she'd start, like, shaking her hands. And I remember thinking, there's life in her. Like, she's okay. And they'd say, like, that's just the a reaction. Like, it doesn't mean anything's going on, basically. But, yeah. So when we came back down after I'd had a shower, we had, like, this was at, like, 4 o'clock. So we knew we had, like, a couple of hours left. And we were just really trying to, like, take in every moment and just spend that time with her. But at this point, I hadn't even held her as a baby, you know. Like, she had a hat on and I was like, I need to see her. I need to feel her as my baby. I need to feel her hair. I need to see her ears. Like, if these are the last moments that we're going to get to spend with our baby, like, I need to feel her. Yeah. And but I also knew that I just wasn't well. So thankfully this midwife came down, and because Storm had gone up and said she's really not feeling well again. And this midwife came down and she really advocated for us. And she was like, these parents need to know that you're not going to turn off her life support without them. Like, and they were like, no, we're not. Like, you need to go. Like, and she was like, we need to get mum well before we can even...
Because the last moments you have with Soli, you want
to... I needed to be present, there. You know? Yeah. And I wasn't. Like, I was just out of it. So, I had, like, we went upstairs. And, again, that midwife, we knew there was, like, a round of... they started ordering my blood and they were like, we're going to do some blood transfusions. Like, this is why you're feeling so poorly because you.
You're so low. Yeah. Yeah.
I was like yellow. Like, if I look at the pictures now, like, I was yellow.
Okay.
And the midwife said, Storm, go down and tell that consultant that he needs to come upstairs and have that conversation with you because he can't do that without Liv. And mm-hmm. I was like, I really appreciate you. Like, because I would not have said that. And, like, I would have just said, Storm, you go and have that conversation. But in actual fact, like, that is so important, like, yeah, that I was there. So he came up and he was like, I just want to, like, basically clarify what has been said. Like, we need to get you well, but we also need you to have these precious moments with Soli. And he was so lovely. And he was like, we don't want to drag this out, but she can hold on until later this evening. And okay. Blah, blah. So they ordered my blood. It was taking way too long. I was really poorly. Inevitably, what happened was they pushed it back until the morning. So we knew we had until the morning to go and have those moments with her. And the lady who was looking after her overnight came up to me and she was like, I just wanted to come and meet you and just say, like, I'd want to know who was looking after my little girl. And she was like, she's beautiful and she's perfect, and, you know,
And she was like, you can come down at any point in the night if you want to. But I knew, like, at this point, I'm running on no sleep.
0%.
No energy. So ill. And so, yeah, I managed to get a little bit of sleep. Had 2 blood transfusions.
Bless you, man.
And then in the morning, I woke up at 6:30 and we went down to see her. And, yeah, it was just, they, like, actually gave her to me to hold on the pillow. Like, I had her on a pillow. She still had all her wires. But I actually held her and, like, you know, embraced her. And we had that time. And then I sort of said, would it be possible to go into a different room so we can have some privacy?
Yeah.
Because we knew, basically, they'd said to us, we can take all of her wires off, but her breathing tube can't come out because we don't think she'll breathe on her own. So, yeah, they took all of her wires off and we went into a private room and we actually held her like a baby and, like, you know, just had those moments, me and Storm. And we played that song Fly by Celine Dion. And, like, if anyone is going through this, like, that song brought me so much peace, like, in this time. Like, it was just beautiful. And the last thing that they were going to do was take out the breathing tube. But again, I started to feel poorly. And I don't know about anyone else that has ever been through something like this, but I knew in my mind, they were saying things like, you know, you could, like, you can have her with you for as long as you like and all this. But I knew that I just needed to, like, have our time with her, say goodbye. And then, like, that would be it, because I couldn't bear it. Like, yeah. I don't really know how to describe it, but yeah, I didn't need to drag it out. In hindsight now, I feel like no time would have been enough, you know?
Yeah.
And
what a lovely way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, it scares me that I will lose those memories, you know, and I'm so glad that, it feels so wrong to get your phone out and take pictures, but I'm so glad that we did that, because you just forget and you just want, like, even pictures of her ears, her hair and everything, like her toes, you never want to forget that. You don't want to forget it of your alive baby, you know, and it goes so quick. But yeah, so
sorry. No, don't apologize. I think to give you some respite and take a drink and take a minute, but, like, I think sometimes, like, if you were talking to me now and I hadn't been a mom, I don't think it would hit as hard as it's hitting. But I think when you've had a baby and you've been through all the things you were just talking about and all the trauma and the pain, to think that you come out of it, you don't even have your baby. Like, yeah. I cannot comprehend that.
No, I know. And that's what I felt like when I was in the hospital. I was like, I can't wrap my head around this. And do you know what was one of the worst things is, like, walking out of that hospital without your baby was just, like,
it's a robbery,
horrific.
Literally, as I said to you when we spoke last week, like, as your friend and, like, someone who's listening to it, so I'm so angry. Like,
yeah.
It literally feels like you've just been completely robbed.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt you. I just wanted just think it's just hitting so hard.
Yeah.
You
think, and even for me, I, like,
goodness.
When I speak to mums, like, about this, or, like, when I see, I haven't seen a lot of people because I haven't been able to let new people through the door because it's hard. But when I have seen mums, I see the pain differently in their eyes. Like, they know a mother feels this different.
And I 100%.
Yeah.
I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
Just everything you're talking about, like, all the little details that you can't help but think about
your baby.
Yourself and your baby in that position. And you just can't comprehend it. Really can't.
I know.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt you, but I think that is true. Like, when you have gone through it and you know what it feels like to be a mom, it's just like,
yeah, Absolutely.
It's just wild.
So yeah, so we had the room downstairs. But the last thing to do was to take the breathing tube out. But I started feeling well again. So what they said to us was, we can bring Soli up to your room. So a really nice room. And it was actually the bereavement room, which we didn't realise until like day three of being in it. But we had like a bed, we had a kitchen, we had a sofa bed, so Storm could stay with me the whole time that I was there. And we also had a corridor down to our room separately, so we didn't have, we were away from like what was going on around out the hospital. So they brought us up, they brought me up, and then they brought Soli up. And at this point, they took the breathing tube out, and we actually got to hold her and see her hair and everything. But this was the point where she was taking her, you know, she was leaving us, and yeah, she was taking her last breaths. And bloody hell. That was like really difficult, but really peaceful. And I was so glad that it was me, Storm, and Soli, and we had those moments together. Yeah. And once she had passed, they came in and they helped Storm bath her, and I got her dressed and did her nappy. And
yeah, how did that, like, how does that feel? What the hell?
I think the thing is, to think about that when it hasn't happened to you is like horrific, but when it's actually your baby, you just, it feels, obviously it was like devastating and sad, but like, she was my baby, so I needed to do that, and I wanted to do that. And I remember like holding her, like, and feeling her hair, and I'll never forget like her head, like, it was just incredibly difficult, but there was so much peace in that room with us. Like, and I felt like, okay. And I don't know if you've ever seen anyone when they've passed, but like, I truly felt her soul like leave. Like, and I think because a few, like a couple of weeks later when she'd got taken to the funeral director, I didn't know if I wanted to go and see her. But actually, in a way, I am really glad that we did, because when I went in, I just, like, that was her shell, and I didn't feel her there. But it actually gave me a massive sense of peace, because I thought, you're somewhere else now, and that's okay. What happened after was just, like, another series of events, because it just felt like our time there, like, even with that happening, you should be able to leave the hospital and go, and, you know, leaving the hospital without your baby is horrendous, but we needed to start the grieving process. But I wasn't able to, because I wasn't in a good way myself. And they thought I had a hematoma, which is a collection of blood internally. So I had to go down for a CT scan, but like, this happened over like a couple of days, because Soli was born on the Monday, she passed away on the Wednesday, and then I actually had the surgery on the Thursday. But once she'd passed, it was sort of like, okay, now we're on to the next problem. Do you know what I mean? Because it was like straight into my health and like figuring that out. And there was a little bit of conflict between the doctors as well, because one doctor was like, you need to go for a CT scan. One was like, no, you don't. And that was really frustrating as well. Because we just
need to go home.
I've got Nova at home. Like, our baby's just died. We just need to go home.
We don't want to be doing this, yeah.
But also, like, yeah, I wasn't well. So, and Storm was going stir crazy in four world wars. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, of course.
I was sort of like, okay with being in that room, and I could disassociate the fact that I was missing Nova because I didn't have any more emotional capacity for that.
Yeah.
But Storm, you know, on the best of days, he hates staying at home. So being in four walls, that room was like my safe space.
Mm-hmm.
And like the women that looked after me mm-hmm. were amazing. Like, even just coming in and talking about their lives, you know,
taking it the just, distraction away. Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, so they found, I went down for a CT scan and they realised that I had a hematoma, so a collection of blood. So then I had to go back in for surgery. Now, going back in for surgery again was just traumatic because I was going in, being put to sleep and reliving that whole situation that had happened like a few days prior. And it was just like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I just, oh, it was horrible. And I just remember like they were like talking to me and stuff, and I was lay on sort of the table where they're like gonna do the surgery, and I just remember like sobbing and just being like, I can't believe this is our life and this is happening. And I don't think I'll ever fully comprehend, and I know we'll never ever get over this and you'll never be the same, but you just learned, like, I'm still so fresh and this is so raw,
yeah,
but you do learn to cope. And thank God for Nova, because she's just our saviour in all of this.
Yeah.
So I had the surgery, came around, it all went well, it was fine. I had a drain put in as well. So you have like an internal tube
mm-hmm.
and then a bag of blood, and they monitor how much blood is coming out mm-hmm. so that they can see if it's been successful. And it was. However, the next day then they did think there was another bleed, so it was just like I had to go down for another CT scan. They started me on more IV antibiotics, so then like I'm staying in longer, like my blood pressure was still high, like there was just so many factors, and I was just like, just get me home, like I need to go home to my baby, I need to start processing this.
And I also, well, I don't know, but maybe also a sense of like normality,
yeah,
like get me out of these four walls and put me back in
my home.
Yeah.
But yeah, so eventually, like, thankfully on the second CT scan we figured out there wasn't another bleed. And on the Monday, so we went in on the Monday when I had Soli, and then we left Leicester a week later. And then it was just coming home. And when I saw Nova for the first time, like, that was just incredible. Like, she'd been here, there and everywhere, passed from pillar to post, mm-hmm. you know, thank mm-hmm. God we have the most amazing support around us, because I knew that she was with people that loved her of and course. Had good intentions for her. Yeah. And we didn't have to worry about that. And thank God we didn't.
God, yeah.
People ask me, you know, did you have Nova come in? But I just couldn't have her come in and be associated with that situation. But when she saw me, she does say mama, but she doesn't really say it intentionally, like she just mumbles it, but she actually was like mama, and then ran over and hugged me, and she just wouldn't stop like looking at me, and like was just hugged me for ages, and I'll never ever forget it. And and then it was just a case of coming home and processing this, mm-hmm. you know.
And since you've been home, if it's okay, we'll start to touch on some of the questions. Since you've been home, a lot of people have like written in to ask about like grief and what it's looked like and what it's like felt like in this time, and how you are coping, how are you, and like how is Storm, and obviously, in a saving grace way, thank God Nova's so young and like won't remember or witness. Yeah, totally blissfully unaware. But like, what does grief, what does it feel like? Like, what does it look like now?
Truly, no two. I think in the early, like the first few weeks, every hour is different, and it still feels like that. And obviously, everyone says grief comes in waves, and it does feel like forever. That. And you will never. you can wake up in the morning and you don't know what that day is going to look like, mm-hmm. and you don't know what's going to trigger you. And this is the thing, like, everything is a constant reminder, you know?
Of course. Of course.
And you can walk out the house and walk around the village and think about the walks that you were going to do with your baby in the carrier, mm-hmm. you know, or open your phone and see someone else has just announced their pregnancy or their baby's arrival.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's overwhelming.
Of course.
And I think it's never, ever going to be, I think it will get easier with time, and I know that. And yeah. I am surprising myself with how okay I am. I truly feel like my brain is probably trying to, like, block it out as much as possible. Like, okay. I feel that.
Okay.
It's crazy what your mind does. Like,
I
know that it, because I got pregnant with Nova so close together as well, I just feel like my brain is like, you weren't pregnant this year, like, did not happen. It's like, it's wiping it. It's really strange.
They do say that, like, your brain wipes trauma.
Yeah.
Like, even, you know, so yeah. that's probably got some scientific
yeah.
truth to it as well. That
but it's really sad because you're really trying to, you're in conflict. You're trying to hold on to the memories. But you're also, like,
trying to forget the pain.
Yeah. yeah.
And I think when we were speaking about it, at yours, like, this grief will be a forever long thing.
Yeah.
Like, you will grieve solely for the rest of your life, but yeah. it will just look so different in different phases.
Yeah.
And it will feel different in different phases, but she will be with you, with us, all friends and family, with Nova forever.
Yeah.
And we will talk and think about her forever. Yeah. It's just going to look, I guess, I mean, I feel so even weird saying, like, it's just going to look like this. You don't know what it's going to look like. And no. I can't say what it's going to look like, but your strength is remarkable, Liv, and the way you're talking about this and articulating yourself so beautifully and speaking about Soli so wonderfully, like, you're so strong. You are so strong, and I hope you know that.
I think the thing is, like, I've heard this, other people say this, it's like you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Like, I know that, like, I don't have a choice, but I do, because there's, you know, I don't have to talk about this, and I understand that, but I believe that that's the only way that, how else am I going to make sense of this? Do you know what I mean? Like, she has to have some sort of purpose.
Yeah, for sure.
But also touching on, I know you were asking about Storm as well. Like, I truly believe, like, you know, we both have lost our child, but we both feel this very differently because, you know, as a mother and a father, it's completely different. And, like, he's also seen me go through this, like, physically. He's seen his wife, his love, go through, you know, this. And it's hard, and it's hard to navigate, like, your relationship through something like this. And, like, we will both be at different stages. And, like, I know we're like, what, 5 weeks into this, but, like, we feel it different.
Yeah.
And he said to me the other day, he was like, do you feel annoyed when I come down in the morning and I'm, like, happy with Nova and you're sat on the sofa crying or whatever? And I'm like, no, because if you feel that and you feel happy in that moment, take it, because you deserve it.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah.
And you also, like, presumably, like, you also want that for Nova. Like, you don't want Nova to then be robbed of happy experiences with her.
And, like, that's parents. The thing, like, I've written posts on my Instagram, but, like, she genuinely has brought laughter in moments like this. Like, you can look at her and she will literally, like, bring a smile to your face. And, like,
thank God for Nova, hey?
I genuinely don't understand how women would do this as their first baby, because
you said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you've got no... I don't want to say Nova is a distraction, but you've got...
She's a great distraction. She's, like, the best medicine you could ever want, you know?
I asked you this question when I saw you, and I felt so weird asking it, because I was like, how can I even ask this question? But a lot of people wrote in and asked about it as well, like, do you want more children after going through this? Like, what does... Do you envision more children? Do you envision pregnancy again?
It's really strange because, like, that first night that it happened in Warwick, I remember being in the hospital bed and thinking to myself, how the hell would I ever do this again? Like, how would I ever, like, if she doesn't make it, we were like very set on the fact that we had two girls and that was going to be okay for us. Like, we were like, maybe in a few years, if we think that mm-hmm. we want more, we might. But like, we were happy with two girls. They're going to be best friends. And yeah. like, we were loved that. But then when I spoke to one of the midwives in Warwick, as soon as I got to Leicester and we'd said goodbye to Soli, you automatically start thinking, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen for us? When, what does our future look like? Will there be more children? And I remember the midwife said to me, you will feel that like straight away because you'll have this void that needs to be filled. But you also need to give your body like the time it needs to recover and heal. Mm-hmm. So like, I know that I need to be mentally ready and I also need to be physically ready. I know that I want more children because I couldn't bear Nova not having a sibling. Mm-hmm. And I want, you know, we wanted that.
Yeah.
And I see our future with more children. When that happens, I have no idea. Okay. But like, yeah, okay. I hope so in the future.
We've answered so many of these questions within the conversation. I think a lot of people were writing in saying, like, could it have been prevented? Do you have a feeling that something's been missed? Do you feel like, I don't want to use the word lack of care because we don't want to go into that, yeah. but now, like, instinctively, when you look back and you think of that week and version of events where you were back and forth to that darn hospital, you were back and forth having these tests, you were constantly checking your blood pressure. Like, when you look back now, do you feel instinctively like something should have been different? I know you've spoke about it when the consultant was like, you know, she is a full-term baby, like, yeah. we can deliver. Like, what do you,
I have a lot of questions that I need answers for. My situation shouldn't have gone on that long. And if that's okay with the hospital, then that's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wonderfully put. And that's kind of something that, like, with this podcast and with your future work on social media, that you want to raise awareness yeah. around, like, that back. And even as your friend, when you were telling me that back and forth wasn't okay.
Yeah.
Like, that shouldn't be a term of, that shouldn't be a term of events for a heavily pregnant woman. No. Like, it's so stressful.
Yeah.
And would you say, like, looking back now and after going through what you've gone through, you would empower women to, like, always listen to, like, a niggle in the mind if you thought something was wrong?
Or... I think it's really difficult because in my head, I never actually thought that something was going to happen. Like, when I say to you, you think you hear of it happening to other people, but you yeah. never think it's going to happen to yourself.
Yeah.
Not once did it cross my mind until I walked into that hospital on the day and I realised it was blood.
With the blood.
Yeah. But I think it's so important to know that, like, you know, each hospital has guidelines, but, and if a consultant comes in and they're saying something, it's okay to challenge them and okay to ask a question or say, can you explain that a little bit more? Because we go in there with no medical knowledge. They're talking to you in what mm-hmm. seems like, you know, mm-hmm. a completely different language sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's okay to ask the questions and it's okay to ask them to explain a little bit more or, you know, stand, you know, up for yourself as a woman. Like, the thing is as well, it's like a consultant can walk into your to see you and they may not have read all of your notes and it's okay to like talk and like reiterate,
over inform and
yeah
stand on business time and time again. I hear that, I really hear it, but there's also part of me as a friend that angers me about that as well, because yeah. I'm like, as a pregnant woman with a full-time baby, like, you should know that information.
Yeah. It's really...
Do you know what I mean? How do you walk into that room and not know this woman who is obviously struggling, going back and forth with yeah. extremely high blood pressure? Like, why were more alarm bells not rang?
Yeah.
Do you get me? But...
Yeah.
I guess I that's the question.
And this is the thing. It's like, I sit in bed at night and I wake up at 3 a.m. and I have questions ringing around my head, and if one person would have made a different decision, things could have been a hell of a lot different, and that's something we'll have to live with for the rest of our lives, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's just so important. Like, the main thing for me from all of this is you don't understand how important, I didn't understand how important your blood pressure is. And although this is a conversation that you do not want to have, if someone would have said to me, your blood pressure needs to be under control, otherwise your baby could die, maybe I would have stood up for myself a little bit more. Or maybe I would have said, no, I'm not going home, I want to be induced. Or, you know, like, there's so many woulda, shoulda, couldas, but at the end of the day, you put your trust in the professionals, and yeah, that's now what we have to live with.
Okay.
I feel like there's a conversation for this at a later date, you know?
Like a part two.
Yeah. Tomorrow I actually have a debrief from my birth. But it's actually something that anyone can request. So, like, if, you know, you felt there was something that you want to raise questions about in your birth, like, women need to know that you can actually do that as well. Like, I don't think people know that you can do that, a lot of people. And it's the same for, like, you know, I think one of the biggest things for me as well is we think of the NHS as just one thing, like one bracket, and you walk into any hospital and they'll all do things the same. And that's actually not the case. So there's like one guideline for all of the hospitals, and then each trust has their own policies. So they pull their policies from the guidelines. So Worcester's could have been completely different to Warwick. And that's something that I have to live with as well. Like, you know, and it also comes down to the consultant that you see on the day. You know, they could, this is what I mean by it could, there could have been a different decision made. Yeah. It depends on the person.
So frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, as I say, like, listening to it as a friend, like, it's just, I feel so much anger.
At this moment, like, I don't need to put blame on anyone.
Oh, it's not a blame thing,
but
it's just like
I also know, like, I can't bear the thought of it happening to someone else. So if I can raise some awareness of, like, your blood pressure is important, like, I didn't think it was. I didn't realise how serious it was. I had all the signs of preeclampsia. Not all the signs, but I had the signs of preeclampsia. I had traces of protein in my urine. I had high blood pressure. Can I show the picture of my hands and feet?
Of course you can.
This is something that I would encourage women to do, is, like, take a picture of your mainly feet at the start of your pregnancy, because me walking in there as a bigger girl, like, they might not have realized how swollen my ankles were, but, like, this is my usual feet and this is how swollen they were. So
I mean,
this is before.
Oh, you've got such nice feet, I must add.
But it's just crazy, like,
yeah, you know, that is crazy. And again, I
if
think
you have something to refer to, you know,
I think, like, even just listening for someone who's, like, been through a pregnancy before, like, even I had no idea.
Yeah,
like, it's so informative. Like,
yeah,
there's so much power in your story, Liv. Like, you will raise alarm bells for women all around the world, and you will empower us to ask the right questions.
Yeah.
Even for me, like, if I'm thinking about, like my future and, like, what that looks like and what a future pregnancy looks like for me, people will always have you in mind. And we will always ask the right questions for ourselves.
I hope that. Like, and, like, I'm not saying this to scare people. Like, I don't want to do that. But it's just so you have the information.
Yeah.
Like, it is a taboo subject. People don't want to talk about it. But, like,
we have to stop it happening. Yeah. And if you feel like, you know, you have these meetings and you feel like there is a part two, like, trust me, this room's always open.
Yeah.
But I just want to thank you for sharing your story, and you will touch people all around the world, and you will help so many people. Yes, in the most unfortunate circumstances where we've lost solely, but there is so much power through your pain now, and I'm really proud of you. You've done so well. So thank you.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity as well. I think it's like, when I knew that I wanted to get our story out there, I knew it wasn't just, it's a conversation.
It's a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're incredible. And Soli will be in our hearts, minds, souls forever. I've not stopped thinking about her since you've shared it. So thank you. Thank you for watching. If you've made it through to the end. Liv works on social media and with social media, so I know her DMs and her page is open and for further conversation. And if you want to follow Liv's story, please. I know that a lot of your work moving forward now will, I don't know actually, I can't presume that, but we won't stop talking about this, and thank you. If you've made it to the end, thanks so much for watching. Please like, share, comment, subscribe, whatever you can do to help the cause. Please send lots of love to Liv, you're incredible. And I'll see you soon for a new episode. Ciao.